had heard before. She strained her thoughts for some kind of recognition, and finally a hazy memory came back to her.
Prince Roka? She choked out. You're Avon's brother?
He laughed at her reaction, but didn't have a chance to respond before they reached the others. Her friends must have heard her exclamation, since the three of them were staring at the Maiorin with wide eyes.
Is everything all right? The king asked.
Alex couldn't help but stare at Astolf, searching for the similarities between him, Roka, and Avon, and finding few. Roka had his father's bearing and kingly stature, but his dark hair must have come from his mother, while Avon shared the king's golden locks. As far as Alex could tell, the only thing both Avon and Roka had in common were their eyes, but they didn't inherit those from the king either. The remarkable color should have clued Alex in much earlier to Roka's identity, but she'd been a tad overwhelmed by everything else to note the minor resemblance between him and his brother. For all she'd known, golden eyes were the norm in Maia. And there was little else in Roka's appearance, or character, that was mimicked in his evil sibling, at least from Alex's perspective. Everything is fine, Roka assured his father, and Alex wondered why they'd been asked the question in the first place. But then DC walked over and prodded her arm where the Maiorin's blade had bit into her flesh, causing Alex to wince.
You're bleeding, DC stated. Why are you bleeding?
More interestingly, Jordan said, why is he bleeding?
Alex followed his gaze and was surprised to see a few small cuts along Roka's arms that glittered silver. She must have nicked him with her blade, as unfathomable as the idea was. She glanced at him apologetically and wondered what the punishment was for drawing blood from the Crown Prince of Maia. Roka's face lit with humor when he saw her expression, probably figuring out where her thoughts were leading her. He tried to reassure her with a smile, but it did little good since the other Maiorans were also staring at the wounds on their prince.
We're both perfectly fine, Roka repeated. I merely wanted to experience Alex's fighting skills for myself. And you were right, Zane. She's impressive. For a human, anyway. But she still has a lot to learn.
How did she injure you?
Kaya asked curiously.
I was blindfolded.
While the answer was enough of an explanation for Alex's friends, the other Maiorans looked at Roka dubiously. Their super senses would have allowed them to hear the conversation between him and Alex as they'd walked back across the mat. So the Maiorans would have heard all about Avon's blood in her veins. Curiosity was splashed across their beautiful faces.
Treselv Rayen de Linair,
Roka said quietly, and their expressions cleared as they all nodded. Alex might not have understood the words he'd said, but she was fairly confident he'd just told them he would explain later. Unfortunately, she couldn't offer the same assurances to her friends.
What happens now? Alex asked, wanting to move the conversation along to safer topics.
Now it's time for you and your friends to go home, Alex,
King Astolf said.
That's it? Jordan asked, disappointed. We can't see more of the city? You've seen more of Maia than any other mortal has in millennia,
the king said with a trace of amused indulgence.
While your enthusiasm is admirable, you should understand that the last humans to set foot in our city caused a ripple effect unforgotten over the centuries. There are many of our kind who won't take kindly to learning of your presence here. Not all of the Garseth were captured with my son's banishment, and those who remain hidden won't hesitate to show their allegiances should a whisper of Avon's return reach their ears. It's for your own safety that I ask you to leave.
Jordan opened his mouth to argue, but Alex interrupted before he could make his opinion known.
Thank you, King Astolf, she said.
We're aware our arrival was an unanticipated surprise, and we're grateful for the time you've given us. Do you mind if I ask what your plans are regarding Avon?
The king eyed her speculatively, as if he was deciding what to tell her.
I'll bring the information you shared to the attention of my council, and together we'll make a decision. What happens after that will depend a great deal on Avon's next move.
Alex nodded. It was none of her business, really, and she was surprised that Astolf had answered her. Surprised and pleased. She'd somehow earned the Maiaran ruler's respect, although she wasn't sure how she'd managed such a feat.
Kaya will return you to Raelia, the king said, unless there's somewhere else you can leave from. Somewhere that doesn't involve treading upon our sacred crossroads.
Alex winced at the hope in his voice. Clearly Raelia was a very important place for them, but there was nothing she could do about that. I'm sorry, Your Majesty. We can only return using the door we entered through. The king sighed in resignation.
So be it.
Alex bowed to him and her friends followed suit. She looked over at Roka, wondering if she should bow to him as well. He must have seen the question on her face and he laughed quietly, shaking his head at her. She chose to interpret that as a no, rather than as him thinking her ridiculous. But both options were equally plausible.
Despite the circumstances of your arrival and the news you've brought, it has been a pleasure to speak once more with those of your race,
King Astolf said.
I hope our paths meet again one day.
Alex wasn't sure what to say in response, so she smiled and nodded her head.
I enjoyed fighting with you, little human, Zane told her. I'll look forward to a repeat performance in the future.
Alex didn't want to be rude to the scary guard by saying, no way in hell. So she kept her mouth shut and once again nodded with a polite smile plastered to her face. The big Maiaran seemed amused by her noncommittal response, if his grin was anything to go by.
I have a feeling we'll see each other again soon, Alex,
Roka said to her.
Until then, stay safe.
The smile she gave Roka was genuine. You too, and thanks for, you know, your experiment, and for explaining things to me. I guess you're not so cryptic after all. Roka's golden eyes sparkled, the warmth in them so different from his brother's.
Well, I already told you how annoying crypticness can be.
And I told you that's not a real word, Alex returned.
Goodbye, Alex.
Roka said affectionately, and he followed the king and Zane over to where they had first arrived in the vaulted room. The three Maiarans disappeared from view when the Volispoth swept them out of sight.
Follow me, mortals,
Kaya said, leading Alex and her friends over to the invisible roller coaster. The Volispoth transported them through the palace and continued until they were outside and speeding across the Radiant City. The sun was beginning to set behind the cliffs on the horizon, and the fading light illuminated the shining myrocks all around them. Mystical trees glinted high above on the golden cliffs in the distance. Waterfalls sparkled down into the valley like liquefied rays of light, and the river below glistened as if it contained the essence of a thousand stars. The view took Alex's breath away, and she craned her neck to and fro as the Volispoth moved them towards the top of the cliffs. She expected the Volispoth to stop there, but they continued on, speeding through the golden trees as they quickly turned to silver.
Where are we going?
Alex yelled over the wind. Kaya turned to look at Alex, one eyebrow quirked.
Raelia, of course. Where else?
The Volispoth can take us straight there? Why didn't we use it the first time?
The Eternal Path can take us anywhere we want, Kaya told her. And you wouldn't have had the chance to enjoy the beauty of Maia properly if you hadn't first witnessed it from the top of the golden cliffs.
Alex contemplated that as they continued speeding through the Silverwood and offered a meaningful, thank you, Kaya. The Maiaran tilted her head in acknowledgement as the Volispoth began to slow, soon coming to a smooth stop.
This is where our journey ends,
Kaya said when Alex and her friends were back on their feet.
Sorry you didn't get to shoot one of us,
Jordan said with a smirk. Kaya mimicked his cocky expression.
There's still time.
If you want a demonstration?
No, he said, his smirk fading. I'm good, thanks. Let's go before you say something stupid and end up with an arrow through your spleen, DC said, dragging Jordan and Bear into the mushroom circle. Alex smiled at Kaya once more and moved to follow her friends, but she paused when the Maoran reached out to gently grasp her arm.
Alex, Kaya said quietly, using her name for the first time. Be careful.
Avon Delmarta is... He's the worst of our kind.
Alex blinked at the Maoran's warning, touched by her concern.
I will, she promised. I hope we'll get a chance to meet again, Kaya.
As do I.
Kaya agreed with a slight smile, making her already stunning face even more radiant. With those parting words, she turned and walked away, disappearing into the trees surrounding Raelia. Alex looked into the woods one last time, then stepped over the mushroom boundary and approached her friends. Time to see how this return trip deal works, Alex said. Her intent acted like a command, prompting a doorway to magically appear before them. With DC, Jordan and Bear all following close behind, Alex stepped straight through, willing it to open into the painting and tapestry-covered foyer of the library.
Home, sweet home,
Bear said once the doorway disappeared again behind them.
What a day! DC's eyes were comically wide. I can't believe we're still alive.
I won't be for much longer if I don't eat something, Jordan said. I'm starving.
His stomach rumbled as if to emphasize his words, and Alex realized how hungry she was as well. And tired. Her day had been exhausting, yet it was barely sunset.
Food, then bed, she said. But she remembered something else and amended, Food, Darius, then bed.
Jordan pointed to her bleeding wound where Roka's blade had nicked her arm.
Food, Fletcher, Darius, then bed, he corrected.
I can barely feel it, Alex argued, but she knew he was right and nodded in agreement. Sounds like we have a plan, DC concluded, linking her arm through Alex's and leading the way up and out of the tower.
13. Alex was jerked violently from her sleep that night, when a blood-curdling scream nearly ruptured her eardrums. She was out of bed and crouching in a defensive position before fully waking, frantically searching the darkened corners of the room for any trace of Avon, who she feared had somehow broken into the dorm. She could see nothing out of place, but the screaming continued as DC thrashed around in her bed, clawing at her covers and waving her hands wildly.
Dix,
Alex called, rushing over to her friend. She reached out to restrain DC's arms to keep them from smacking her in the face.
Wake up, Dix! Wake up!
No!
DC wailed. The sound was heart-wrenching, and it caused chills to trickle down Alex's spine. DC continued to scream and fight, so Alex roughly shook her. When she finally woke, her demeanor changed almost instantly. One second, she was screaming bloody murder, and the next, she had her mouth closed and eyes wide open, looking up at Alex in confusion.
Alex? What are you doing?
DC asked groggily, staring at her arms where Alex held them locked in a firm grasp.
You were having a nightmare, Alex said, releasing her. You were screaming and everything.
DC looked bewildered, but then her expression cleared, just as swiftly as her eyes shadowed, and she looked away from Alex, swallowing thickly.
Sorry, she said. I didn't mean to wake you.
Hey, you can't help what you dream, Alex said. But then she remembered that sometimes DC actually could influence what she dreamed. Her friend's gift enabled her to dream true dreams, dreams that showed the future. When DC had those dreams, she could choose to relive the visions anytime she wanted to gather more information.
Dix, was that... Were you dreaming one of your... You know...
Dreams? Alex asked.
DC looked up at Alex with eyes that were calmer than before, but still held a lingering trace of darkness.
I'm sure it was nothing, Alex.
Despite her confident words, she didn't sound certain.
I can barely remember it, so I think it was just a regular nightmare. Usually I have much more clarity when I have true dreams.
Do you want to talk about it? Alex offered.
No,
DC said quickly. Then she cleared her throat as if to cover her abrupt answer.
I mean, it's late, and I'll probably have forgotten all about it by morning.
You sure? Alex asked, not wanting to upset DC when she looked so vulnerable.
You know I'm here if you want to talk. I'm good, but thanks, and sorry again for waking you.
Alex told her not to worry about it, and made her way back to bed. While DC seemed to fall straight back to sleep, Alex had trouble relaxing. Try as she might, she couldn't get DC's agonized screams out of her mind. But soon enough, the events of her day in Maya, and the exhaustion from having to relive every moment, except for the ones she promised Roka not to speak of, during her talk with Darius, caught up to her, and she drifted off into a restless sleep. That was the first night DC's screams woke Alex, but it wasn't the last. Every night for the rest of the week, Alex was woken by the terrified noises of her thrashing roommate. When confronted, DC adamantly refused to speak about her nightmares, continuing to claim they were nothing. And while the night terrors lasted only a few minutes, they were so anxiety-inducing that Alex was rarely able to sleep much afterwards. Within a few days, both girls had dark circles under their eyes, and their lack of proper rest hadn't gone unnoticed by their friends. But more worrying was that their exhaustion was beginning to cause problems in class. DC was the first to reap the consequences when she failed to answer a question correctly in medical science. Professor Loranda ended up giving her a detention when her reply was, "Sorry, Professor, I was so bored that I zoned out for a moment there. Can you repeat the question?" By the time Friday arrived, Alex was definitely feeling the effects of her barely awake consciousness. Finn had nearly killed her that morning in PE, and she had nearly killed her entire class in chemistry. Equestrian skills had also royally sucked, because she'd been so out of it during their forest ride that she'd ended up being coat-hangered by a tree. The impact had sent her flying off her horse and onto the ground, resulting in Taylor ordering her to go straight to the medical ward, where Fletcher had thankfully treated her bruised ribs without comment. If Alex thought things couldn't get any worse after that, she was soon proven wrong. While Fletcher had been fixing her up with pain meds and a regenerator to increase the healing speed of her injury, the heavens had opened up, bringing a downpour of rain across the entire academy. Perfect. Alex groaned as soon as she stepped outside GenSec and saw the liquid bucketing from the sky. Knowing she was going to end up soaked no matter what, she stepped out into the rain and began to jog over to the arena for her combat class. While she ran, her thoughts grumbled about the lack of roofing over the amphitheater. Sure, she'd had to take the class out in the elements before, rain, hail, snow, shine, everything, but she wasn't in the mood to deal with the added inconvenience after the week she'd had. Such was her luck that when the class actually started, the rain began falling even harder. Fabulous. She made it halfway through the lesson before finally losing it.
Fun, eh?
Brendan called over the violent sound of the downpour. Alex could barely see him through the barrier of water. She could hardly see anything. But since they were supposed to be attacking each other, her lack of vision presented a serious problem.
So much fun,
she returned sarcastically. The truth was, Alex's tolerance had reached its limit, but she continued to get the stuffing knocked out of her, knowing the class surely had to end soon. She was wet and miserable, and all she wanted was a long hot shower and a good night's sleep. Was that too much to ask?
15 minutes later, Brendan again yelled to her over the tumultuous noise. I take it back. This isn't fun anymore. Alex grunted in agreement and kicked out at him. They were practicing unarmed fighting techniques, so at least they didn't have the added danger of slipping on the muddy ground and impaling themselves on their blades. That was a positive, if nothing else.
I'll tell you what, Brendan shouted. Why don't you just let me win and we'll be allowed to finish?
10 minutes earlier, Carter had told the different pairs to move out of a practicing stance and into an attacking mind frame. As soon as one person managed to overcome the other, the pairs could finish class for the day. It was an uncharacteristic offer from Carter, but his leniency was likely a result of him being unable to see his students.
Me? Alex yelled back, ducking his fist. Why do I have to lose? Why can't you let me win?
She heard his faint snort over the cacophony of the rainstorm.
Why is that funny?
She demanded, swiping her leg out towards where she thought he was. The rain was so blinding that she missed him by about 3 feet, and she heard him laugh even harder at her failed attempt.
We both know you're not going to beat me, Alex, and no one would believe us if we acted like you did, he said. Sure, you're heaps better than you were, but I've been in Epsilon combat for years longer than you. And I'm an apprentice? Well, you're just a fourth year. You're good, but you're not that good.
Normally, Alex could handle the banter of the combat boys, knowing they used taunts to throw off their opponents. But Brendan's mockery just fueled the fire that sparked from Alex's exhausted state of mind. She closed her eyes and took a deep breath to still her rising irritation, and her newly determined peace brought a sense of quiet that she'd only experienced once before. Alex suddenly felt everything around her. When she opened her eyes, she could see everything so much clearer than before. She watched in amazement as single raindrops fell from the sky in slow motion. She could see the other boys in her combat class who were spread around the arena and fighting awkwardly due to their limited vision. It was like switching from a static video to high definition. The added detail was startling. And when she threw her hand out towards Brendan, whom she could now see with phenomenal clarity, he wasn't fast enough to block her blow. Another punch, an elbow to his stomach, a side swipe of her foot, and a final roundhouse kick to his torso landed him on his backside with her standing like an avenging angel over his winded body.
How?
He stuttered, looking up at her in awe as the rain fell into his mud-splattered face.
Cat got your tongue, Lubinsky?
She said, holding out a hand to help him to his feet. As if knowing their fight was over, the rain began to ease slightly.
Of course.
How did you move so fast?
He asked when he was standing again. She brushed a wet lock of hair behind her ear.
What are you talking about?
You were like a blur,
Brendan said, lowering his voice to a more normal level as the rain continued to lessen.
I barely even saw you move.
That's because it was raining, Alex said. The water was so thick I couldn't see you either.
But despite her words, she couldn't ignore the fear that prickled up her spine. At the end of their fight, she definitely had seen him. And she knew how.
No,
he said, shaking his head adamantly.
I mean, yeah, the rain was thick and it made seeing you difficult, but I'm talking about the speed of your attacks. You were insanely fast.
Alex felt her breath catch with his admission, but she forced herself to remain calm. Even when her memory flashed an image of the cuts and nicks she'd given Roka in their fight a week ago, had she somehow managed to tap into not only the increased sight, but also the Maiaran attribute of speed during her fight with Brendan? That was definitely a dangerous path to tread. She would have to be very careful in the future.
I don't know what you're talking about, Alex told him, faking indifference. You said it yourself. I'm still not that great a fighter. I think the rain distorted what you think you saw, and I just got a few lucky hits in.
Brendan seemed to think about that as they walked to where Carter was waiting. Caden and Declan were already standing with him, but Nick and Sebastian had yet to finish their match.
Yeah, I guess you're right,
Brendan accepted before they reached the others.
Maybe you did just get lucky.
Alex tried not to look too relieved.
Lubinsky, Jennings, you're done?
Carter asked gruffly, wiping the rain off his face. It was now only drizzling lightly, and Alex had to force herself to not scowl up at the sky.
Yes, sir,
Brendan answered.
You hurt, Jennings?
Carter asked. Alex turned to him.
Hurt?
Yes, hurt,
he repeated.
Injured, wounded, damaged in any way?
She looked at him in bewilderment. Sure, she often sustained injuries during combat class, but rarely did Carter ask her personally if she was okay, unless it was obvious she was in a bad state. Otherwise, it was just expected that she and her classmates would go and see Fletcher if necessary, after class ended. No more than usual, sir, she told him honestly. Just like after every combat class, she was probably covered in bruises, but nothing more serious. He frowned at her as though he'd said something wrong, then turned to look at Brendan. The apprentice must have been able to read his expression better than Alex, since he quietly mumbled something she couldn't hear.
Speak up, Lubinsky,
Carter ordered.
I said, Alex isn't hurt because she didn't lose the fight.
Carter's eyes flickered in surprise before his face reverted to its natural stoic expression.
Is that so?
I just got lucky, Alex said, repeating what she'd told Brendan. Carter peered intently at her.
Lucky or not, I expect you to keep it up.
He then told Alex, Brendan, Declan, and Caden that, as per his earlier agreement, they could leave early. Sebastian and Nick would have to continue until one of them won their fight. As they sloshed their way out of the arena and up the hill towards the dorm building, the boys conversed with one another while Alex's mind wandered to her comfy bed. Maybe she would get a proper sleep that night for the first time all week. Just as she was contemplating skipping dinner and going straight to bed, a voice broke through the tired haze of her mind.
Are you excited about this weekend?
She looked questioningly at Caden as he stepped up beside her. This weekend?
Yeah, you know, our SAS getaway.
Alex stared at him blankly and his lips quirked at her expression.
Were you paying any attention last night?
He asked.
I mean, I know you got caught in three, or was it four, of Hunter's traps, but I thought you were just trying to avoid Skyla. I didn't realize you were that out of it.
I've had a lot on my mind lately, Alex said. Caden's face was sincere, but his eyes were laughing at her.
I'm sure you have.
All right, mister, I know something you don't know, she said. What was it that I should have been listening to last night?
Well, since you asked so nicely,
he said with a wry grin,
tomorrow we have an overnight assessment for SAS. We're taking off for the whole weekend, coming back on Sunday night.
Alex groaned. That was the last thing she needed after the week she'd had. But then again, she might actually get a good night's sleep if she was away from DC's screams. Almost immediately, Alex felt bad for thinking such a thought. It wasn't like her roommate chose to have the nightmares. DC was the victim of her own subconscious mind.
What are you thinking about?
Caden asked. Alex wondered what her expression must have revealed for him to be looking at her with such curiosity, and she quickly relaxed her face. Nothing. Just wondering what clothes I should pack. He laughed.
Wow, you're really bad at lying.
She lowered her eyes but didn't try to deny his accusation. Fortunately, he let the matter drop.
I guess I'll see you in the morning,
he said, and she realized they'd already reached the dorm building.
Yeah, sure,
she replied, giving him a tired smile. She headed up the stairs to her room, quietly closing the door when she noticed DC curled up in bed.
Hey,
DC said softly, rolling over to face her.
Hey yourself,
Alex returned, crossing the room to sit beside her friend. Are you okay?
Yeah,
DC said. Finn let us skip PE because of the rain, so I came back for a nap.
Really?
DC rubbed her eyes.
Yeah. I was tired.
No, Alex said, chuckling. I meant that I was surprised Finn let you out of class. Carter made us keep going.
You're still back earlier than usual,
DC said, squinting at the time displayed on her comm TCD resting on her bedside table.
Yeah, by like 10 minutes, Alex said. No nananap for me, unfortunately.
DC's face crumpled in apology. Sorry, I know you haven't been sleeping well, and I know that's my fault.
You can't help it, Alex said with a tired shrug. And I'll be gone this weekend for SAS anyway, so maybe having the room to yourself will help you move on from whatever is causing the episodes.
Episodes? DC repeated. You make me sound like a crazy person.
You know what I mean, Alex said, and then she couldn't resist adding,
and you are a crazy person? Acceptance is the first step to a good, healthy recovery.
DC's lips twitched. Are you speaking from experience?
Me? Crazy?
Alex placed her hand dramatically against her chest.
You're such a weirdo, DC said, shaking her head. And at this exact moment, you also happen to be a weirdo who is dripping water all over my bed. Go and clean yourself up, would you?
Your wish is my command, Alex said with a salute, and she stood up and trudged over to their bathroom for a quick shower before dinner.
This is going to be so awesome!
If you say so, Alex mumbled around a yawn the next morning. Once again, she'd had little sleep during the night, and she couldn't muster the same amount of enthusiasm as Jordan for their upcoming weekend.
One foot in front of the other,
she mentally chanted, as she followed her friend down to where their SAS class was due to meet at the forest. Even her internal voice sounded weary. While Jordan continued to babble about what he thought the overnight trip would bring, Alex secretly hoped Hunter would have a change of heart and cancel. Or perhaps reschedule to another time. Unfortunately, he did neither.
Listen up, everyone,
Hunter said when he appeared out of the forest like a wisp of smoke.
This weekend, you're going off campus for some field training. I want you all to grab the bag with your name, and inside you'll find everything you need to survive until tomorrow evening.
He pointed to a cluster of backpacks under a tree and gestured for everyone to move forward. When Alex picked up the pack labeled with her name, she had to stifle a grunt. It was much heavier than she'd expected. She watched in bafflement when the much smaller Pipsqueak lifted her own bag with ease, and even the always whining Skyla didn't complain when she strapped hers to her back. Alex resisted the temptation to see if someone had put rocks in her pack as a joke, as she heaved it across her shoulders.
This assignment is about teamwork,
Hunter instructed the group.
You'll need to utilize the skills you've already learned, while being innovative enough to adapt to an unknown environment.
Hunter pointed to the tree where they'd picked up the bags. Just about head height was an arrow lodged in its bark.
This arrow is specially made to transport you to your destination. Once there, you'll need to follow a set of instructions giving you tasks to complete before the weekend is over. After you've finished, you'll find another arrow which will return you here tomorrow evening. You may arrive earlier or later, depending on how well you follow the instructions, but you can be sure of one thing. The only way for you to get back here is by completing the tasks and finishing the assignment.
This is so going to end badly, Alex thought.
Any questions?
Hunter asked. He may have given them an opening, but it was clear he didn't think there was anything left to say. Alex, however, had many questions, the most prominent of which was whether she could stay behind and let everyone else enjoy the fun field trip without her. But since she already knew the answer, she didn't waste her breath. Her other concern involved being away from the protective wards of the academy. What if Avon discovered she was gone and decided to come after her? But she figured Hunter had to have spoken with Darius about the trip, and the headmaster would never let her leave if he thought she would be in danger. Besides, she was too tired to start up a conversation that was sure to arouse the curiosity of her classmates. Definitely not worth it.
You can leave when you're ready, Hunter said when no one responded. I'll see you all tomorrow evening.
You're not coming with us? Alex blurted out. Weren't they going to be supervised?
Are you afraid of the dark, Alex?
What? No, I just...
Then I see no need for me to accompany you, Hunter said, cutting her off.
She wondered how he might have responded if she'd lied and claimed she was scared of the dark. But he probably would have just given the same answer. Whatever, Alex mumbled, lacking the energy to argue her point. It seemed they would, in fact, be camping unsupervised. Flipping fantastic. An image of the bloodthirsty Hiroa came to Alex's mind and she shuddered. But then she forced herself to remember that they were rare creatures, and the likelihood of running into another one was slim to none. Hopefully.
Right, then, Hunter said when he could see that Alex had let the matter drop. The sooner you leave, the sooner you'll return. I recommend you make use of the daylight. Night falls quickly where you're going.
Shuddering, Alex dutifully followed her classmates and stepped up to touch the bubbler-infused arrow. With a whirl of colorful motion, she was whisked away from the Azera forest, only to land shakily in her new environment. Someone reached out to help steady her, and she turned to send them a grateful smile.
You good?
Caden asked. Yeah. Thanks, she said, and he removed his hand from her arm.
Come check this out, Alex, Jordan called.
She glanced towards her friend and gasped at the sight in front of her. Wow, she whispered, peering out over what seemed to be the entire world. They'd landed high up in the middle of a cluster of mountains, with 360-degree views all around. Way off in the distance, the land smoothed out until all traces of the woodsy scenery transformed into a never-ending yellow sparseness. Blink waved a piece of paper around, breaking Alex's wandering gaze.
Do you guys want the good news or the bad news?
Good news, Declan said, speaking for everyone.
According to the Ghostmaster's map here, it looks like we're in the Durungan Ranges,
Blink told them. Alex wasn't sure how that was good news. She didn't know much about the mountain range that spanned the width of Medora, but she guessed it would make for a challenging weekend expedition.
What's the bad news?
Declan asked. Blink sent him a lopsided smile.
Bro, we're in the Durungan Ranges. That's like so hardcore.
But you said that was the good news, Alex spoke up, confused. How is that both good and bad news? And what are we supposed to do here?
Well, Alex Serena,
Blink said, and Alex shot him a warning look at the nickname.
If I'm reading this ultra-military-style map right, it looks like we have to traverse the ranges. I don't know about you guys, but I'm hungry just thinking about it. Who else agrees that we should break for a snack?
Give that to me, Pipsqueak demanded, snatching the paper from him and striding over to the rest of the group. Alex looked over the smaller girl's shoulder at the basic map Hunter had drawn for them. We can't walk that far by tomorrow night, Alex exclaimed.
I'm sure we don't have to walk the entire way,
Jordan said, looking at her in a way that silently reminded her of Medora's advanced technology. I know that, but still... Alex trailed off, not sure how to recover from her outburst. Fortunately, everyone else was too busy perusing the map to notice.
This is obviously Hunter's first instruction for us, Tom said. I say we take an inventory of what supplies we have in our packs and start walking until we find our next clue.
It was a good suggestion, so they sat around in a circle and unloaded their bags to inspect the contents. It turned out that their items were almost identical. Each pack held a waterproof sleeping bag, a bottle of water, an assortment of energy bars and dehydrated foods, an emergency medical kit, a compass, a box of matches, and a hunting knife. Each pack also had one item that was unique to its owner. Caden's was a bow with a single arrow. Declan's was a self-inflating raft. Tom's bag contained a banjo-like stringed instrument. Pipsqueak was pleased to discover a fluffy pillow amongst her possessions,
Skyla was equally pleased with the handheld mirror and makeup collection she'd been given. Blink looked overjoyed with the extra food rations in his pack. Jordan pulled a long, sturdy-looking rope out of his bag, and Alex. Well, there was a reason her bag felt so weighty. At the very bottom of her pack, she found a large and extremely heavy book titled A Collection of Children's Stories. Seriously? She said, heaving the tome from her bag to show the others. They sniggered at the look on her face. Oh, come on. Don't tell me I have to lug this thing over these mountains. Pip, do you want to swap? Pipsqueak snorted. Keep dreaming, Alex. That's what I'll be doing on my lovely, soft pillow later tonight. Rub it in, why don't you? Alex grumbled, staring daggers at the book in her hands. Of all the things for Hunter to give her, why a children's storybook? And a huge one at that.
We should get moving, said Tom. I'll take the lead with Caden and Declan, since we've been in the class for the longest. And until we figure out what's going on and where we're headed, all of us should keep an eye on our surroundings.
Alex didn't mind deferring to them, but someone else did have a problem with it.
You forgot about me, Skyla said. I've been in this class for as long as Caden and Declan. How could you forget about me?
Her eyes actually began to fill with tears, and Tom backtracked quickly to avoid the impending waterworks.
Of course I didn't forget about you, Skyla, he said hurriedly. In fact, I trust your ability so much that I think you should bring up the rear. They say that the most experienced person should always be at the back to make sure no one falls behind.
Skyla scrunched up her face, thinking hard about his explanation, and then smiled brightly.
You're right. I am the most experienced person, and the most important. I should definitely be at the back. Don't worry, everyone. I'll keep you safe.
What a nutcase,
Jordan mumbled, loud enough for only Alex to hear. Fortunately, her muffled laughter was covered by the sound of the rest of them rising to their feet. Tom cross-checked his compass to the map, then started leading the group on their journey. After 3 hours of making their way down the mountain, they rested at the base for a drink and some morning tea. Barely any time passed before they were on their feet again and trekking up the next, much steeper incline. They paused for lunch when Caden spotted an arrow sticking out of a tree with a note that read, "Stop here for lunch."
Thanks, Hunter.
Very helpful, thought Alex. It was the middle of the afternoon by the time they reached the top of the mountain. Unlike the lush green scenery on the way up, the peak was bare of trees. It was solid, gray, craggy rock. Glancing over at the other mountains surrounding them, Alex was comforted by the fact that the one they stood on wasn't snow-covered like most of the rest. They evidently weren't as high as most of the ranges around them, and she was grateful they'd only had to climb the smaller peak. So far, anyway. While their journey had been steep, they hadn't had to use Jordan's rope, much to Alex's relief. But that relief was short-lived when she saw what lay ahead of them. Cutting directly through their path across the mountain was a crevasse gouged deep into the rock at least 50 feet wide. It was as if the mountain had been cleaved in two, since the vertical drop fell straight down to the ground way, way below them, where a rapidly churning river flowed at the very bottom.
Looks like we'll have to backtrack, Pipsqueak said, squinting down at the violent water far beneath them. Let's just hope we can find a way to cut across the river.
I think we have different instructions, Declan said, pointing to an arrow that was rooted in a boulder nearby.
He retrieved the paper scrawled with Hunter's words and looked grimly at the rest of them.
What does it say?
Jordan asked. Declan turned the note around so everyone could read Hunter's instructions.
Cross with caution. It's a long fall. No way.
Alex wasn't sure if the words were hers or someone else's, but it was likely what they were all thinking.
Ghost is like the man,
Blink said with reverence.
Shut up, Blink, Pipsqueak said.
How are we going to do this?
Tom asked the group. Pipsqueak gaped at him.
You can't seriously be considering crossing here.
That's what we've been told to do, Declan pointed out. So there must be a way.
There is,
Caden spoke up.
But I don't think any of you will like it.
14. They all looked at Caden questioningly as he unstrapped his bow and the single arrow that came with it. Alex hadn't paid close attention to it before, but now she could see that it wasn't like a normal arrow, and the bow was unique as well. Both of them appeared to be made of some kind of heavy metallic substance. The arrowhead was different, too, with little grooves spiking in the opposite direction to prevent it from being pulled out of a target. At the bottom end of the arrow was another surprise. Instead of it finishing with the normal feathery decoration, the metal curled into a loop with a hollow center. Understanding dawned on Alex, and she looked at Caden, aghast.
Please tell me you're not thinking what I think you're thinking.
Despite their predicament, the corner of his mouth quirked in amusement.
That depends on what you think I'm thinking, or not thinking.
I think you know what I think you're thinking, just like I think you know what I hope you're not thinking.
His smile widened and everyone stared at them.
I'd like to know what you're both thinking, because I'm sure lost,
Jordan said, subtly raising his eyebrows at Alex and flicking a speculative glance between her and Caden. She felt her face heat up under his perceptive gaze, but Caden saved her from her discomfort when he jumped in with his explanation.
I think we have to tie Jordan's rope to my arrow and shoot it into the rock over on the other side of the crevasse, he said. Then we use it to make our way across.
Just like that? Pipsqueak said, throwing her hands on her hips. Why didn't you say it would be so simple?
Hey, it's not his fault we're stuck in this situation, Alex defended. Normally, she liked Pipsqueak, but her attitude wasn't helping the situation. Pipsqueak turned to glare at Alex, as if the entire assignment was her fault. But before either of them could say anything more, they were interrupted.
I don't see why we can't just fly across, Skyla said loftily.
Everyone turned to look at the blonde girl who was holding her mirror in front of her face and reapplying her lip gloss. No one seemed to know how to respond to her peculiar statement, but Jordan tentatively tried to speak up without upsetting her delicate disposition.
Skyla, how exactly would we fly across?
She snorted and snapped her makeup case closed.
We'd make wings, obviously.
Alex fought off the irrational urge to laugh. When it appeared that no one else knew what to say, she diplomatically said,
That's a great idea, Skyla. But since Caden came up with a solution first, it's only fair that we try his way before giving any other ideas a go. If his arrow doesn't work, then we'll be sure to discuss your plan.
Alex couldn't believe she'd actually just agreed to try Caden's suicidal proposal. But compared to making wings, it almost sounded like a sane strategy. Only almost.
I guess that's fair, Skyla begrudgingly agreed. But I still think my idea is better.
Alex chose to let the conversation end there, and she turned to find Caden watching her with amusement.
What?
He flashed her a humor-filled grin but shook his head. Nothing.
How are we going to do this? Tom asked,
indicating the arrow in Caden's hand.
Obviously, you shoot it over there and hope it'll hold us, but what's going to keep the rope on this side?
He had a valid point, but Hunter had already provided the solution.
We tie it to Hunter's arrow, Alex answered, pointing to the shaft embedded in the boulder where Declan found the note.
It was made of the same metallic substance as the weapon Caden held, looped end and all, and Alex had no doubt that it was intended for this purpose.
Let's do this, Declan said,
giving Caden an encouraging clap on the back. Jordan handed the rope over to Caden, who knotted it securely around the loop at the end of the embedded arrow. After tugging against it to make sure it held, he unwound the remainder of the coiled rope and tied the other end to the arrow in his hands. As a group, they walked to the edge of the crevasse.
Shoot straight, Cade, Declan said,
as Caden strung the bow and pulled it tight.
Pausing for barely a second to aim, Caden released the arrow and it pierced firmly into the rock wall on the other side of the fissure. It was a perfect shot, with the arrow sticking out close to the top of the crevasse, just enough for the rock to not crumble under their weight, but not too far that they wouldn't be able to pull themselves up. Perfect shot or not, butterflies began to trample around Alex's stomach at the idea of crossing the ravine.
Who wants to be the test dummy?
Declan asked, cracking his knuckles with anticipation. No one was eager to raise a hand, and after a few tense moments, Caden spoke up.
I made the shot. I'll go first.
Alex reached out and clutched Jordan's arm as Caden secured his backpack over his shoulders and stepped up to the rope.
Here goes nothing,
he said, lowering his body over the edge. Only when Caden was sure the rope would hold his weight did he begin to move, using a hand-over-hand approach to swiftly make his way across the ravine. He made it look effortless, but Alex didn't take a proper breath until he reached the other side and drew himself up to safety.
Are you going to let go of me now?
Jordan asked her with a knowing smirk. She dug her fingernails in a little deeper for a vindictive moment before she released him, choosing to ignore his amused chuckle.
Who's next?
Declan asked. One by one, they began to make their way across the crevasse. Blink followed after Caden, locking his legs around the rope and pulling himself across backwards. Skyla copied his example, while Jordan adopted Caden's faster, if less secure, hand-over-hand approach. Just as Alex watched Tom pull himself to safety, she heard Pipsqueak's shaky voice.
I don't have very good upper body strength, the waif-like girl said. What if I fall?
You won't fall, Alex assured her classmate, who appeared to be very close to hyperventilating. You'll be fine.
You promise?
Pipsqueak asked, her big blue eyes staring at Alex as if the words alone would keep her safe.
I promise, Alex said.
Really? What else could she say? Gone was the snarky girl from earlier, and in her place was a scared teenager needing reassurance, something that Alex could provide.
Okay, Pipsqueak whispered,
and she lowered her body over the edge and quickly wrapped her legs around the rope. The rest of them shouted encouragement and watched as she pulled herself slowly but surely along. But something happened when she was halfway across, and for whatever reason, she stopped moving forward.
What's she doing?
Declan asked Alex, the two of them the only ones left to cross.
I have no idea, she answered, but her stomach tightened at the sight of her classmate dangling motionless so high above the ravine.
What's the holdup, Pip?
Declan called. Pipsqueak didn't answer, but Alex could see that something was wrong when she pulled herself in closer to the rope, almost as if trying to hug it tightly. Even from where Alex was standing, she could see the tremors shaking Pip's body and vibrating along the rope.
I think she's having a panic attack,
Alex whispered fearfully. Declan groaned.
Worst possible timing.
From the other side of the ravine, their classmates were calling out to the frozen girl, too, but she was oblivious to everything around her.
What are we supposed to do?
Declan asked.
How do we calm her down? If she doesn't move soon, she's going to get tired and...
Alex didn't need to hear the end of his sentence to know where the and led. Tugging firmly on the rope, she said, How much weight can this hold? He looked at it thoughtfully.
Honestly, I'm not sure.
That wasn't the answer Alex wanted, but she'd have to make do with it. Do me a favor and hold on to it, just in case. He realized what she intended to do and nodded. Walking to the boulder where Hunter's arrow was lodged into the rock, he gripped the rope and braced himself in preparation for something that, hopefully, wouldn't be necessary. Alex looked across the ravine to her other classmates and saw they must have noticed Declan's position, as Caden and Jordan were now leaning over the edge, supporting the rope on their side. Tom and Blink took up positions behind them to hold on to them if necessary, and Skyla, well, she did nothing, but that was to be expected.
Hang on, Pip, I'm coming,
Alex called out, deciding then and there that she would never again promise anyone anything in the heat of the moment. Once her backpack was secured, she wrapped her legs around the rope and dropped over the edge, pulling herself along swiftly.
Don't look down.
Just don't look down, she chanted to herself, with each swaying pull across the rope.
When Alex approached the halfway mark, she wasn't sure what to do next. Her head was directly behind Pipsqueak's feet, which made having a conversation difficult. But she had to try. Pip? The other girl didn't answer, so Alex unlocked one of her hands and reached out to touch Pipsqueak's trembling leg.
Pip! Alex said, much louder this time, and she squeezed her classmate's leg for emphasis. We need to move!
Like a whisper in the wind, Pipsqueak's words came to her.
So high. We're so high.
Philippa Squeaker, Alex all but screamed. Snap out of it!
Pipsqueak continued to babble about the height, and Alex realized her words were having no effect whatsoever on her classmate's frozen state. She had to find a way to calm Pipsqueak. If she were calmer, then she might be able to start moving again. Alex hadn't spent much time inspecting her emergency medical kit, but she'd heard one of the others scoffing about a fast-acting relaxant. That sounded exactly like what Pip needed. The only problem was that Alex had no idea how to get the kit out of her backpack.
Just keep holding on, Pip, she said, realizing what she had to do. We'll get you out of here in a minute. I promised. Remember?
Fueled by her own determined words, Alex made sure her legs were secured as tightly as possible, took a fortifying breath, and released her hands until she was dangling upside down in mid-air. She ignored the startled yells from her classmates and focused on retrieving the medicine as fast as possible. Releasing one strap first and then the other, she craned her neck as she lifted the bag to unzip the main pocket and glanced inside. Being upside down was disorienting, but she managed to reach a hand in and feel around until she found the medical kit. A strong gust of wind caught her off guard, and for one terrifying moment, she swung uncontrollably. Her legs were almost cramping with the effort of staying attached to the rope. Once she settled again, she wrapped the strap of the backpack around one arm and opened the medical kit, finding the small spray bottle she needed. She clenched it between her teeth and threw everything else into the bag before maneuvering, quite impressively in her opinion, the pack onto her back. Muscles screaming, she pulled herself up to grasp the rope again. After taking a moment to ease her heavy breathing, Alex let go with one hand to retrieve the medicine from her mouth so she could check the instructions. Somehow she had to spray it directly into Pip's face so that the other girl inhaled the contents, and the effect would be instantaneous.
You so owe me for this, Pip, Alex muttered, placing the medicine between her teeth once more.
She crawled as close to Pipsqueak as possible before she unlocked her legs and let them drop beneath her. It was a precarious position, but the only way she could get to Pip's face was by moving over to her other side.
Just keep holding on, Alex encouraged around the spray bottle in her mouth.
She awkwardly reached around Pip's body with one arm to grip the rope in the small gap between the other girl's limbs. The new position was almost impossible to hold, and Alex had to hastily swing through the air when she felt her grip slipping. She released a trembling breath as soon as she was on the other side of Pip and wasted no time in pulling her legs up to lock her body securely around the rope again.
Time for you to wake up now, Alex gritted out, after taking the medicine from her mouth again.
Pip's protective body cocoon meant that her head was tilted away from Alex, but it was easy enough to move the bottle into position and spray the fine mist into her face. Just like the label said, the effect was instantaneous, but Alex hadn't taken into account the full extent of what sudden relaxation actually meant.
No!
Alex screamed when Pip's limbs loosened their grip entirely. Never before had Alex been so grateful for her well-honed reflexes. With barely a split second to react, she let go of the spray bottle and released her other hand from the rope to reach out and catch Pipsqueak, who had dropped like a dead weight.
Oh, hey, Pipsqueak said happily.
Her eyes were glazed as she looked up at Alex, who was once again dangling upside down and straining to keep them both from plummeting into the crevasse. Only her steel grip on Pipsqueak's forearms kept the other girl from falling. But the strength required to hold the both of them in the air was taking its toll on Alex, and she knew she wouldn't last long if Pip didn't help.
Pip, you need to snap out of it, Alex said desperately.
Are we flying, Alex?
Pipsqueak asked with a dazed smile on her face.
This is fun. We should have listened to Skyla and made wings. Then we could fly all the time.
Pipsqueak!
Alex shouted. Her body was being stretched painfully from head to toe, with her muscles burning from the strain of dangling for so long.
Why are you yelling at me?
Pipsqueak asked. That's not very nice.
Oh, look, it's Caden. Hi, Caden.
Pip, what are you?
Alex didn't get a chance to finish her question before she felt something warm brush up against her side. The rope had been wobbling so much from her and Pipsqueak that she hadn't realized someone else was climbing along it. But when she turned her head and saw Caden hanging upside down directly beside her, she released a shaky breath of relief. Without saying anything, he reached out and grabbed Pipsqueak's arm just a little further along from where Alex's grip ended, transferring most of her weight into his hands.
Hey, Pip, how do you feel about a piggyback ride?
He asked the drugged girl.
Yay!
She cried, and Alex sucked in a painful breath when Pipsqueak bounced around with excitement.
How are you holding up, Alex?
Caden's quiet voice held a tone that she couldn't decipher, and she wished she could turn around to see his expression.
I'm hanging in there,
she answered in a strained voice. He didn't laugh, so she guessed it wasn't the best time to joke about their current predicament. He'd taken the bulk of Pip's weight from her, but Alex was almost completely drained. She needed to get on solid ground, and soon.
I'll need you to help me get back upright, so we can start moving,
Caden told her.
We'll both have to reach up and grab the rope with one hand and pull her up together. Do you think you can manage that?
I think so, Alex said, knowing she would have to, even though she felt like her body was about to tear in two. Will you be able to carry her? She might be small, but she's heavy.
I take offense to that,
Pipsqueak said moodily. It seemed like her emotions were all over the place because of the relaxant.
We have a very important mission for you, Pip, Caden said. Do you think you're up to it?
You bet I am,
she said, excitement replacing her moodiness.
In a moment, when we're all back up near the rope, I'm going to need you to climb onto me for your piggyback ride. You'll have to hold on really tight because we're going to race against Alex, and we'll lose if you let go. You don't want to lose, do you?
No way,
Pipsqueak said, sounding like a small child.
We're so going to win. I promise I'll hold on tight.
Good girl, Caden said, as if he truly was talking to a child. On three. Alex?
One,
she said, starting the count.
Two,
Caden continued.
Three,
they said together, and they both strained upwards for the rope with their free hands and pulled Pipsqueak up between them. Alex sucked in a terrified breath when Caden dropped his legs immediately, dangling by one white-knuckled hand while he helped Pipsqueak wrap her legs around his waist. Once she was secure, Alex released Pip so she could wrap her arms around Caden's neck, which left him free to grasp the rope with both hands again.
Ready?
He called back to Alex. Just go! With her legs cramped, Alex had to use Caden's hand-over-hand method to cross the remaining distance of the ravine. When Tom and Jordan helped pull her up onto solid ground after Pipsqueak and Caden, she promptly rolled away from the edge far enough to curl into a ball, waiting for her trembling limbs to relax.
Alex.
Alex! Are you okay?
Came Jordan's frantic voice.
Define? Okay,
she said shakily. He didn't answer, but she felt someone reach out to take her backpack, and she mumbled her thanks. She heard Tom call out for Declan to come across, and only when she heard the big guy's voice amongst the rest of them did she open her eyes and sit up from her collapsed position. Her body screamed at the move, and she almost bit through her lip to hold back a moan of pain as she began to massage her aching limbs. Her classmates noticed her movement and began to cluster around her.
Whoa, that was just, whoa,
Blink said, apparently beyond a proper sentence. Alex shook her head at him and continued to stretch out her cramped everything.
Here, this should help, Jordan said, kneeling beside her with a light green vial of pain relief medicine.
She took it from him gratefully and swallowed it in one go. Her pain disappeared almost immediately, and her muscles instantly relaxed. Jordan then pulled her to her feet and wrapped his arms around her. He held her tight against his trembling body, causing Alex to realize just how much she must have worried him. When he dropped his arms, he moved his hands to her shoulders and looked her sternly in the eyes.
You better not pull a stunt like that ever again.
I couldn't just leave her, Jordan, she said quietly. I promised.
He sighed and released her to run his hands through his hair.
I know, but you have no idea what it was like watching you out there. That was just... I don't even know what to say. I'm supposed to be looking out for you. Dix will kill me if she finds out about this, and Bear will find a way to revive me only so he can kill me again. Either way, I'm a dead man, and rightly so.
Alex couldn't bring herself to feel annoyed by his overprotective nature, so she smiled reassuringly and said, They won't be able to kill you if they don't find out. It can be our little secret. Jordan huffed out a disbelieving breath, but when she nudged him with her elbow, he smiled back at her.
Ugh, you two are so gag-worthy, Skyla said. How long have you been together, anyway? Pipe down, Blondie,
Pipsqueak said, her expression dazed from the relaxant.
Love is a beautiful thing. I think they're adorable.
Alex looked at Jordan in mortification.
That's not a very nice face, sweetheart, Jordan said jokingly, as he wrapped his arm around her shoulders.
He smirked at her when she shot him a disgruntled look and tried to struggle out of his grasp.
We are not having this conversation, Alex informed everyone. But, for the record, Jordan is one of my best friends. Emphasis on friend.
I can't believe that after what we've just gone through, you're all wondering about something as unimportant as my love life.
So you do have a love life?
Skyla asked eagerly.
Unbelievable, Alex muttered,
and she turned away from them and stalked over to where someone had placed her backpack. She pulled out her water bottle and took a swig, waiting for the conversation to move on before she joined them again.
They're just trying to ease the tension.
Alex glowered sullenly at Caden when he knelt beside her and reached for his own water.
I don't see how asking about my relationship status helps, she said, and it's none of their business anyway.
It was only Skyla and Pip who asked, Caden pointed out. The former, we know, is an airhead, and the latter is currently as high as the clouds. Maybe give them a little leeway, considering?
I had no idea the spray would do that to her, Alex admitted, her annoyance dissolving as the horror of the memory caught up to her. She wouldn't do anything. It was like she couldn't hear me. I thought if I got her to calm down, she'd be able to move again. I didn't know what else to do.
You were incredible, Caden said, holding her gaze. What you did was amazing.
She fell because of what I did, Alex said, remembering the terrifying moment when Pip dropped from the rope. She could have died.
Caden reached out to rest his hand on top of hers.
You caught her.
I was stupid.
You were brave.
Looking into his serious eyes, she almost believed him.
We would have fallen if you hadn't come to help, she whispered.
I don't believe that. You would have found a way to get both of you safely across.
Alex had no response for that, and she lowered her gaze to look at his hand still covering her own. He squeezed lightly and only let go at the sound of someone clearing their throat.
We should probably get going, said Tom,
shuffling his feet and looking uncomfortable. Alex watched as he hurried off to round up the others, and she turned to look at Caden questioningly.
What's up with him?
Caden bit back a smile and rose to his feet, helping her up with him. Despite his amused expression, he didn't answer her question. Instead, he told her something else.
We found Hunter's next arrow while we were waiting for everyone to cross.
Fantastic, Alex muttered. Do we get to throw ourselves off another cliff? Caden glanced at her.
Don't even joke about that.
Too early?
Definitely. And don't get me started on your hanging in there comment.
She laughed lightly and ignored the playful glare he sent her. I was quite proud of my wit at the time. He shook his head at her, and she was denied a response when the rest of their classmates came over to collect their backpacks. Pipsqueak was humming quietly to herself, and Alex felt a pang of concern.
How long until she's normal again?
Depends, Tom answered. Usually people sleep it off.
So we have to wait until she wakes up tomorrow? Alex clarified. At Tom's nod, Jordan dryly said what they were all thinking.
This should be fun.
The sarcasm wasn't lost on any of them, well, except for Pipsqueak.
Fun? She asked, jumping into the conversation. I love fun. What are we gonna do that's fun? Another race?
No, definitely not,
Caden said quickly.
That's not very fun at all,
Pipsqueak said with a pout.
We need to move, Declan intervened. I reckon we only have another hour or so.